There's something about when couples talk to each other. And so I'm going to help us understand that through God's word tonight. I want to turn your attention to His Needs, Her Needs. It is a great book that I want to encourage you to read by Willard Harley, His Needs, Her Needs. And he says here, listen to this, we're going to talk to the man first. This is the man's five most basic needs in marriage. Tends to be number one, sexual fulfillment. Listen to me now. Number two, recreational companionship. Number three, an attractive spouse. Number four, domestic support. And number five, admiration. That's his needs. Number one, sexual fulfillment. Oftentimes when we think about sex, we get a little nervous to talk about that, especially in church. But I want to encourage you that sex among a married couple is holy. It's sanctified. But we get a little nervous when we talk about it. But if you look in God's word, in the Song of Solomon, she says he is lying between my breasts all night. Now for him to get there, there must have been something else that's going on. I want you to catch that. We're still in God's word. There's a reason why he can do that. It's because of the relationship that he has with her and the things that he is saying to her. If you go back in the book of Song of Solomon, listen to this. I want you to go back. You're still in the Bible, right? And I love this. Listen to this. I'm going back to chapter 1, verse 2. It says, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is better than wine. Your anointing oils are fragrant. Your name is oil poured out. Therefore, the virgins love you. I had to understand what she meant by that. Now, listen, he's laying between her breasts all night. That's sexual fulfillment. But why is he able to do that? Because the virgins love him. Now, watch this. That means that that was not the first woman he's ever been with. See, women love men who respect them even when the relationship is over. Listen to this. The virgins love him. That means he had been dating before. And when he was dating before, the women that he was with before, when he left that relationship, they were still virgins. Somebody ought to say amen.
Amen.
You're not catching that. He says, I want to respect you. I want to treat you well. So they said the virgins love him. So he was able, watch this, brothers. He was able to spend all night with her because he respected her. Some brother here is wondering why they're not being fulfilled sexually. Maybe it's because you're not respecting that woman that you're with. I know you can't say amen, just look at amen. So the number one need for that man is sexual fulfillment. I don't want you to miss it. Yes. Well, you know, I think that what God has done is it's a wonderful opportunity for two to become one. And it's not just for bearing children. That is a process. That is a part of what we do as well. But success is also a gift from God. It is what God is giving to a married couple for them to be able to be intimate together and to spend time together by sharing their love. There's some things that takes place when sex takes place among a married couple that God ordains. And see, what happens is there are people who, somewhere along, that's why when I first started out, and we started talking about that, people get a little nervous when you talk about sex because it's not something that we talk about in church. And oftentimes, the reason why, because we don't talk about it, issues take place outside of church that creates promiscuity and everything else. Unholy sex. So what happens is oftentimes our children are seeing the sex on TV. And they think that is what God is ordaining because everyone is doing it. But it's outside of the matrimony, the love of a relationship of two that God has made one. Then it becomes a problem. So no, there are plenty of texts throughout the word of God where it talks about a man and woman being together besides procreation. That is some people's philosophy, and I'm not going to, if that is what God has called you to do, I'm not going to tell you not to do what God has called you to do. But I would suggest to you that God, in what I've read in God's word. Oh, that's okay. Your grandma wanted to make sure that everything was okay. She wanted to preserve you. But let me tell you what happens. This is serious. Let me tell you what happens. That is the number one need for a man. And if that is unfulfilled in his life, then it could create problems. And that's critical. Because there's some women who feel like, well, I'm going to get mad at him, so I'm going to hold that from him. And you create frustration in the life of your home. Okay? So, yes, you have to be mutually agreeable on this subject, but you have to understand that that is your husband's number one need. See, men are very physical. You understand that? In terms of how they look. It's a physical thing. Women are more emotional. You know, the attentive aspect of it. So, you know, that's why it's important, ladies. That's why she says, my spiteman. You've never heard that term. And when you read in the book of Song of Solomon, she says, my spiteman. She's talking about her perfume. She says, my perfume comes forth, because what she's suggesting there is that I take care of myself because I know my man is attracted to me physically as well. Not just physically, but there is a physical attraction. See, as I shared with you a couple of days ago, I shared with you the three areas of love, and I talked about phileo, which we get our word, Philadelphia, right? That's the what? Brotherly? Okay. And then we talked about agape, right? Which is a unconditional love. And then we also talked about eros, which is where we get our word erotic, okay? But it's not, that's the physical love. See, what happens is in a relationship, if you stop there at eros, and you don't get to a phileo, and you don't get to a agape, then your relationship is just a very narrow, all right? So yes, initially when you meet somebody, there is a physical attraction to that person. But oftentimes people get that physical attraction and they stay there. And so we have divorces going on because people are more concerned with how someone looks, all right? So we want to make sure that we focus on that. So that's the number one need. Any other questions, comments? Thank you for that comment. Appreciate that. Any other questions, comments on that? But that is your husband's number one need. So that's something that you don't want to ignore in a relationship. You want to make sure that is a part of, especially a couple that and understand that is holy in God, in the Lord. You understand what I'm saying? Number two is recreational companionship. Anybody know what I mean by that, or what Willard Hartley is saying there? Recreational companionship. Any idea?
Doing things out the bed.
Doing things out, yes. 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 Doing things outside of the bed, of course. But because by doing things outside of the room also leads to things inside of the room. But we'll come there a little later. But recreational, meaning that your husband enjoys spending time with you, not just inside the bed, but also doing things. Right, watching the game together. And see, what happens is, and that's beginning to learn that. And maybe your husband doesn't like sports, he's not, you know. But let's say, for example, that he does. And you say, well, you know, my husband likes sports, but I don't like it, so I'm not going to watch it with him. Well, that is a need. You know, he wants to sit down with you and spend some time with you. Okay, good. Number three, an attractive spouse. And I just touched on that, didn't I?
Yeah.
That's important. That's important. And attraction, when I say attractive spouse, it's not what we look at when it talks, you know, when we're looking at what the media is presenting, what Barbie looks like. That's not what it's talking about. So what does it mean? We get caught up in that. And so, you know, we got to do this and tuck this and work this and do this and think that's beauty. But really it's talking about the inside beauty, but also the outside as well. All right? So it's an attractive that you want to do that. Number four is domestic support. Anybody know what that means? Taking care of family. This is a man's need.
Take care of
Take care of the house. What else? Come on. Domestic support. Supporting him. I like that. That's important. Because a man will get out of work, and you'll say, well, he is supposed to do that. It's his job to take out the trash anyway.
Mercy.
And so what happens is, in a relationship, a man has an ego. Remember I shared that with you on yesterday?
Yeah.
He has an ego. And you want to be able to encourage him so that domestic support says, hey, honey, you did a good job. It's simple. Men are very simple. It's not difficult. But we sometimes, and this is, we're talking in general. Of course, you look at this list, maybe this doesn't, that need your husband or you don't, but we're talking about this is what a man's need or a woman's need is in general. All right? Admiration. I mean, that's self-explanatory. Sometimes he just wants you, remember like I shared with you, to talk about him. Maybe in front of him. You know, my husband did a good job on changing that oil. He did a good job. You know, you admire him, you're making him feel good, you're building him. Men like to be built up. They like to be built up.
Yes.
All right? Are you with me?
Amen.
Is it making sense?
I have one on that.
Yes.
I always tell my husband in front of people, not only are you a good husband and a good father, you're a good person. I tell him he's a good person.
And that's important. You know, because you're building him up. Because, you know, let me say, you're out there, and if you read that text, you know, he's out there, and he's trying to handle his business. You know, he's trying to work that job. He's trying to take care of his family. And he's getting all these problems on his job. He needs to come home.
Yes.
And to be able to sit on the couch and relax. You know what she says?
Yes. Amen.
He's hanging out on the couch. Because watch this. He is a king in his home. And young ladies and sisters, it is you who allows him and makes him to be the king in his home. Yes.
Pastor Austin, this is not someone who drives a Honda Accord lights are on.
You drive a Honda Accord? Oh, there he is. Amen. All right. So we understand that it's really important to build that man up, right?
Right.
And sis, don't you want to do that? Don't you want to do that? Move that man to the next level, yes.
It has to be reciprocated.
Yes, and I'm not there yet. I'm almost there. Yes. That is true. That is the truth. But that's what a partnership is all about. It's working together and it's building that relationship and it's moving to the next level together. But you do have to start somewhere. You have to identify what are the needs of your man. These are basic now needs that your husband is looking at. These are basic needs. He wants to make sure that these things are taking place. He feels good about himself when these things are taking place. All right, any other questions about a man's need? We're still moving. All right, let's move on to the woman's five most basic needs in a marriage. It tends to be number one, affection. Is that right?
Yeah.
Now watch this. The number one need for a man was sexual fulfillment. But for a lady, the number one need is affection. So, brother, she wants to know that you can speak and talk to her. Right?
Yeah.
She wants to know that you're spending time dialoguing with her. And that's critical. You know, she wants to know that you are someone said it yesterday, attentive. She wants you to be attentive. You know? Is this making sense?
Amen.
Huh? Is this clear?
Yes.
Number two is conversation. That's critical. Because you can talk to your boys, but can you talk to your wife?
That's right.
Conversating. Spending time. You know how, Lord, anyway, since we understand, you know, men, I shared with you yesterday, men speak headlines, women speak fine print. Huh? So you got to compensate. You got to be able to spend time dialoguing with each other and encouraging one. Number three for a woman is what? Honesty and openness. Brothers, she just wants you to be honest. So wherever you say you're going, you need to be there. And if you can't make it home at the right time, there's a cell phone. And if you don't have a cell phone, you can still stop and get to call someone up. Because what you're doing is you're building that relationship up.
Yes.
And so you got to be able to be honest there. And openness. You know, and women respect that. And once again, we're talking about moving that relationship to the next level. And sometimes it's difficult. You know, we want to, it's my time. I ain't got to tell her where I'm going to be. She ain't my mama. No, but she is your wife.
Yes, sir.
And that's a mutual respect. Because once again, remember, you're wanting to move your relationship to the next level. Because remember, average just won't do. And so you want to make sure that you're spending time financial support. We're going to talk about that. Why is that critical?
Without that, you'll be lost.
A woman wants to know that she is secure financially, that you're doing your very best to support the family. That's critical. That's important. And so we're going to talk about it later on in the pack, and we're going to go over some financial things because I want to encourage you all to do that. You need to know how to set a budget. You need to work on it. I have a sample budget in here because I want to make sure that you understand these are practical things that you guys can begin to dialogue about as couples. Because you want to move to the next level in your relationship with God and your relationship with each other. Somebody else say amen.
Amen.
Listen to this. Family commitment. Number five. I mean, it's simple, but it's profound. Your woman wants you to be committed to the family.
Amen.
So when you plan a family vacation, you don't want to cancel it so you can go fishing with the boys.
I don't like fishing.
Because the way you treat her outside of the bedroom, sister, is the way she's going to treat you inside the bedroom.
Yeah.
You'll catch that a little later, brother. You'll catch that. You got to get that thing right. It makes a difference. Right? Once a spouse lacks fulfillment, listen to this, once a spouse lacks fulfillment of any of the five needs, it creates a that must be
quenched.
If changes do not take place within the marriage to care for that need, the individual will face powerful what? To feel it outside of what? It is not getting at home. I mean, every day he comes home, every time he opens up the door, here you are with your robe on, no makeup, hair not done,
yeah,
and expecting him to be attracted to you.
There you go. Tell it.
Sometimes you ought to come home and smell that perfume at the door.
Tell it.
Every now and then he should breathe Victoria's Secret.
There you go.
Sometimes you ought to turn that game off.
What?
That's right. I know that's difficult. And spend time talking to her. That's what I say all the time, all right now. But you need to be able to be attentive to her needs.
Yes, sir.
And that's about working together. That's really about working together. You know, because what she does, she understands. You know what I'm saying? But it's really about working together and building that relationship and moving it to the next level.
But now, Pastor,
yes,
that can't apply to the woman as well. If
that's
she
right.
likes the game.
That's it.
I'm not talking about you.
That's right.
Yeah,
yeah.
There you are. There you are.
That's right.
Okay,
that's right.
Make sure.
That's right. I love it. Let's talk about communication. I'm going to ask you all to give you a little more time tonight. I know that normally I had y'all out at 8:30. But I'm asking you just to give you a little more time to go through this. There's some powerful things that I want to deposit with you all tonight, okay? We won't hold you too long, but we want to make sure that we get this information in. Let's talk about communication and relationships. We realize that's the key to any healthy relationship. Am I correct?
Yeah.
It's communication. One major barrier to communication and relationship is interacting from the level of your ego instead of your relationship with God. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Communication and relationship from the level of ego is based on fear, differences, and separation. You have to be really encouraged to be able to say that if I want to communicate at the level that God would have me to communicate to my spouse, I have to make sure that I'm in tune with God. That's critical.
Amen.
Because there are going to be some things you're going to experience in your relationship as it relates to communication. And if you're not in tune with God, you can say the wrong thing.
That's right.
All right? So you want to make sure that you begin to understand. And that's learning each other as well.
Yeah.
But communication is the key because there's some things that you cannot say. Even though it's your wife. Even though it's your husband. I mean, you have to respect them and build them up. Now, when I say there's things you can't say, those are things, of course, that are negative. Not positive. You know, you want to make sure that you're always encouraging. And when you have to say something in correction, you know, we have to correct each other every now and then.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
Then we want to say it in a way that's building each other up and not tearing each other down. Yeah. Our relationships are always about building each other up.
Good. Amen.
And I shared with you on yesterday, it's not what you say, but it's
how you say it.
But it's how you say it. You got to figure that thing out. Because there's some things that you can say, but it's how you are saying it. There are a lot of problems. Numerous communication problems in relationships can be introduced when you interact with your partner based only on your point of view. That's selfishness, right?
Yeah.
Well, this is the way that I see it. Right? Now, you're going to have your points. But you want to make sure that you're working together. Years ago, I went to a seminar. I don't know if you're familiar with John Maxwell. I went to a seminar with John Maxwell. He made a very powerful point. I was there. He talks about leadership. And he was sharing that he used to always have these discussions and arguments with his wife, and he would always win. And he said, I loved it. I loved it. Because, man, I would be right. And then his wife said to him, she said, honey, you know what? She said, you're winning the arguments. Losing me. And so I put this quote that I got from John, which I think is very powerful. It says, pride is concerned with who is right, and humility is concerned with what is right. So when you think about your relationships, you always want to be concerned with not necessarily who is right, but you want to be humble and say, honey, how do we figure this thing out? How do we work this thing out together? Any of the comments as it relates to communication and relationship is the key to any healthy relationship. You have to communicate, and it's how you're communicating with each other, because you're always looking to build each other up. And sometimes you just have to be quiet. If you're going to say something negative, my mama told me years ago, if you ain't got nothing nice to say, shut up. Just say something. So you got to learn to work this thing together. What about happiness in marriage? How many of y'all want to be happy?
Amen.
True happiness. Now, I want to share this with you. Happiness does not come simply because you're married to a great person.
Amen.
Oftentimes, we tend to depend upon that other person. And so we're happy because that other person, everything is right. What happens when things aren't going as right? Right? Emotionally. Yep. So happiness comes from where? From within. So watch this. It's not that this person is making me happy, but now I'm contributing to the happiness as both of us are intertwining together as one. So, yes, my wife and I are happy together, but it's what we are bringing to the table together.
Amen.
Because if I only depend on my wife to make me happy, what happens if she can't make me happy? Okay? So I'm looking to God, number one, correct? And I'm also looking for happiness. Happiness also comes from within. All right? So let's read a couple of things. In order to be happy in a relationship, we have to experience happiness as an individual what? Depending on another person for happiness does what? Being dependent entirely upon someone else's happiness is quite a burden for anybody to carry. So now you can say, give a sigh of relief. Because some of us, man, that's all we're, well, I gotta make him happy. If I don't make him happy, then he's gonna leave me. If I don't make her happy. In reality, happiness comes from within. It's what you're bringing to the table that makes it right, yes. You keep on. I'm going to jump to the end of my presentation, and I have just a little quote there. One of my favorite writers, her name is Ellen White, great writer. She says this: marriage is a school from which you'll never graduate. So you said, then what? You got to keep working on it. See, in a marriage, it's always about dating. And that's different. If you decide that you don't want to work on that marriage, then that's your ultimate.
I mean, you get tired after a while.
Well, I mean, I think that is, that, absolutely.
30 years?
They could, there's been couples who've been married 50, 60, 70 years, and they still light that fire. So it just depends upon the individual, number one. And let me share something. What you put in your marriage is what you're going to, those of you all been, what you put in is what you're going to do what?
Yeah.
All right. See, that's what happens. Good questions, though. Because what you put in is what you can get. So after 30 years, if you're not putting what you want, it can, yeah, that's what happens.
You know why I'm shaking my head is because if you're not compatible, number one, it ain't going to work.
So you don't find out after 30 years, though.
No. Yes. But compatibility, being compatible is relative. Yeah. No, that does happen. That is correct. You're going this way, but that's by choice. See, you can tend to bring that back. See, relationship, once again, you have to work at it. You have to keep dating that person. You have to keep working on your relationship. You have to keep building that thing up. You have to keep praying together. You got to keep studying together. See, that's how you continue to develop that relationship. You know, it doesn't matter how many years it is. It's something that you have to decide that you're going to do. And yes, you have to be mindful of that. Just be conscious about your relationship. Yes?
I just want to say, you know, I believe that a lot of times the marriages fall apart because they stop serving God first.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when you serve God first, all your answers come into place. Because you're not in control. He's in control. You're submitting. And when you're submitting like that, then you don't have to worry about it because he's going to carry you to whatever that you have to go to.
That's right.
And I just believe that if you just keep God in front of everything,
right,
then it's going to go until you die.
Right.
You won't lose no fire. The fire will get better, it'll get more intense.
Yeah.
Right.
I just believe
that. Right. And it just takes work. Right, as God is the head, even with God being the head of your life, you have challenges in your marriage. You have challenges, and you have to work through those challenges. You know, God has given you the strength and the desire to, because what it is, you have two different people coming together.
Right.
With two different personalities. You're not the same God. When God made you, he broke them all. There's no other carbon copy of you. So when you talk to that person, you're bringing something different to the table. So yeah, if you guys aren't working on it yet, it's very easy to grow. People do it all the time. Remember I shared statistics with you guys yesterday, and I shared with you that marriages, even today, are dissolving at a greater rate than it was back in the 1950s and 60s. Remember that book I quoted by Bill Cosby and Alvin Toussaint? Come on, my people. And I quoted some things from there yesterday that, you know, if we're not conscious about our relationships, and that's why we're here tonight. Somebody ought to say amen. Because we're trying to move that relationship to the next level. And it's really important that we understand, and I appreciate what you're saying, because we do need to know. Because we all have, even here tonight, we're all different. And we're looking at our relationships differently. You know, we all have different challenges. As our faces are different. But yes, there is an answer. Regardless of our differences, yes, the central point of building our relationship. But also, he gives you some things for you to understand so you can continue to develop that relationship. It doesn't just happen like we're watching TV. It doesn't just happen, you know, when we watch TV, that relationship, man, they just move from one level to the next, and here they are. They don't show you all that goes on. But it takes work. It takes work. So you want to move on to that. So any other comments? Yes.
I think you have to my sister, when we say we've been together 30 years or 20 or plus years, you lose sight sometimes of who you are and your own identity. And in that, I believe that part where you seek the first the kingdom of God and first, you have to seek to find out who am I? Because a lot of times when we lose sight of who we are, we see the other person and who they're not and what they're not and all this. And I believe God will call us to go into ourselves.
Right.
Take an introspective look. And in that, start praying about me. And when I start praying about me, then God will open my eyes to see that person. Then I can pray for that person and what they need. And then God will bring us together. We have to decide if that's what we want in a relationship, each other. And then start doing the necessary things to date each other, do the things that brought us together in the beginning. But with God as the head, a lot of times we don't allow him to lead us because we're lost ourselves after all these other things we've done over these 30 years. But if you just take the time to find yourself and who you are and what you like and what works for you, then you can start working and praying for your partner, and then you can come together to do that with God. And that's how I believe we bring it back after we've lost so much time. Yeah.
Great point. Thank you. Great point. You have any comments? You had a comment?
That first, we go into relationships before we ask God. And then somehow, in between, we're already stuck. And we begin to struggle. But if we are trying to venture into a relationship, I will ask God first. Is this the woman? Is this the man for me? Definitely, if you're a child of God, God will speak to you. If he doesn't speak to you, he will tell somebody to talk to you about it. No, of course.
Keep around.
He will tell somebody around you. If God says go, he will bring all the pieces of the puzzle together. Even if there's a struggle, even if there is trouble in between, definitely the end will be glorious. But if God says don't go and you go in, that's where you spend 30 years, 50 years trying to make something that is wrong right.
Great point. Any other points? Comments? Yes.
I think many of us enter into a relationship with a person that we think is perfect. And, you know, I'm not perfect, and my wife is not perfect. But yet we expect to have a perfect relationship, and I just don't think it'll happen like that. And I used to say to my wife all the time that to a happy relationship require work. And, you know, she used to say, oh, why do you say that? Well, I mean, we understand it now. You know, it's been a long time. But people fail to really realize that to be happy in a relationship, you have to put in work. You know, I can't expect her to make me happy if I, like you just said, Pastor, don't look for happiness and seek my own happiness. And I have to tell myself as a man, what does my wife expect from me? What does she need from me? And I need to make sure that I'm trying to be the best that I can be, and instead of trying to get her to be the best that I want her to be for me. So we go in with the wrong idea oftentimes.
Excellent point. Thank you all. Excellent. Song of Solomon, chapter 1, she starts talking. She says, I've been burned. Listen to that. She says, I've been burned. I've been dark. I've been burned by the sun. Some of us suggest that what she was also saying is that because of my past relationships that I've dealt with, and I felt I've been burned from one man to the next. And now she runs into a good man. And a good man will allow you to lose, forget all the issues from the bad man. It takes time. It takes time. It's like meeting Christ. Come on now, somebody ought to say it. It's like meeting Jesus. He'll turn your situation around. And so what happens is, yes, you can go through different years of disappointments and relationships. But you got to continue to seek the Lord, because this individual takes time. You got to pray for them.
Yes.
And think about how God is going to move you all to the next level. Understanding that happiness starts with you.
Amen.
All right. Good. Great comments, you all. Let's move on. Continue to read this in your private time. I like this. I want to move to goal setting for just a moment. Goal setting. I think that's important. One of the things that we've discovered as we've been doing these seminars and going around this country sharing the good news about Jesus Christ and relationships, one of the things that we understand is that many of times as couples we do not set goals, whether they be short-term goals or long-term goals. We don't set those goals. And so really we are just aimlessly running around in our relationships. Isn't that right? That's what's going on. So we don't know really where we're going. We're just there. I mean, none of us would get in the car and say, you know what, I don't know where I'm going today. I'm just going to just drive.
Right.
That would be ludicrous. I mean, especially with these gas prices. But we do the same thing in our relationships. We get into these relationships and we don't know where we're going. We're just having a good time. Hanging out together. I mean, it is nice. But you have to begin to set some goals. This is what we're going to accomplish year one. Now, this is practical, but I want you to understand that because I want to help you move to the next level in your relationship with God and your relationship with each other. You have to begin to set goals. So one of the things is, I like, relationship creates three entities. It is what?
You.
Right. So number one is what you are bringing to the table. So you have to have personal goals that you're setting. Your spouse has to have their personal goals that they're setting. And then you have to have corporate goals together as a family. Because what you're doing is you want to move to the next level. And so oftentimes what happens is you'll say, well, my goals are your goals, baby. I mean, you have to understand that, you know, your goals may be his goals, but you need to have your own goals. Because that's what happens, you die inside. Because you're always about his goals, never about yours. Yes, you work together. So I want you to take a few moments and I want you to begin to think about what are your goals as a family. Well, before a family, yourself individually. Let me give you an illustration. Do you want to earn a degree in the next year or two? The economy is bad. And a lot of people are retooling. They're going back to school. Maybe it's your time to say, you know what, I realize the job that I'm in is not working well, or I don't have a job. Maybe you need to think about going back to school and re-educating, retooling yourself. You know, so or maybe you have a goal, you're at a particular place in your job and you want to move to the next level, but you have to have personal goals. So I want you to take a few moments. You have your pencil and your pen. I want you to take a few moments. I want you to write down what your personal goals are. Think about it for a minute. Now these are your personal goals. Alright? And you should have them. Now watch this. If you don't dream, the Bible says the people perish.
That's right.
So you have to have some goals. There's got to be something. You want to write that new book. All right? You want to think about what are your personal goals, not your family goals yet. What are your personal goals? So I want you to write. I want to see everybody writing. If you don't have a pen, please raise your hand. I don't see it. Okay? All right, make sure that everyone has, because you're going to write it, because I want you to write down your personal goal. We're talking about moving to the next level in your relationship with God and with each other. You need to think about it now. What are your personal goals? You want that sense of purpose. You want that sense of identity. You want to know who you are. Isn't that what you said? I know Angel said that. Angel said you got to know who you are.
Amen.
All right? That's part of the issue. You got to know who you are. So take that time to write that personal goal down. We'll give you a minute or two. You'll work on it at home, but I'm just starting you out. Should be individual now. Your personal goals. What are you trying to accomplish? Year one. What are you trying to accomplish? And just for a bad time, you want to think about it like this. Short term and long term. Does anybody know what short term is? Short term means what? In the next?
Anything less than a year.
Okay, what about long term? Okay, within. Okay, so you want to think about it like that. All right. We want to move your relationship to the next level. All right? All right, so you've had a few moments. I want you to begin. Think about it. We can't do everything here tonight, but I want you to begin that conversation. So I'm going to encourage you that when you go home as a couple, you begin to talk about these. Number two, I want you to just to take a few moments to talk to your, if your spouse is here. If they're not here, that's okay. Think about what you would like to accomplish as a goal for your family. Is it purchasing a house? Is it getting a brand new car? Is it moving to Texas? I mean, we want you to stay here, but you know. You want to think about what are your next goals, all right, as a family, okay? I'm going to give you a minute to do that. I want to have you out here by 9 o'clock, so just give me a few moments. Thank you all for your patience tonight. Talk about it. That's what I want to hear. That's what it's all about. We're going to help you move your relationship to the next level. Now, we're going to move pretty quick, and then after we finish this, and then... Okay? Go ahead and go. Like we asked the class, are you finished? Have you dialogued about it and talked about it? Amen. All right. So you understand you understand that you're bringing something to the table. So you have your own personal goals, but in addition, you also have your family goals. Let's move to page number 5. I told you there's a lot of material tonight, but I want to make sure that you get it all. Number 5, I want you to take a love quiz. And it's simply, it's going to be quick. I want you to look at this, and I want you to insert the name. Just insert the name. I'm going to read it real quick. We'll have you insert the name of your spouse. And I want you to think about what we're saying. Here it is. Here's the quiz. All right? I share deeply personal information about myself with whoever your spouse is. I want you to write that in. This is your exercise, your quiz. I find myself thinking about during the day. Come on now. Isn't that sweet? Because of my commitment to... I will not let others come between us. Somebody ought to say amen. Amen. And you're writing it down now. You're making that commitment. I receive considerable emotional support from... Write their name down. Is it true? All right. That's all right. Write down the name of your person and say, it's very romantic. Number 6, I say you got to love Christ first. That's true. I expect my love to last forever. I communicate well with, write your spouse's name down, your certificate. I can not imagine another person making me happy as, I will always feel a strong responsibility for, number 10, I feel that I can really trust, and that's critical, foundational to any relationship is trust. There's a book out I want to encourage you all to read. Right now I can't remember the author. Oh, so I think it's Stephen Covey. No, it's the book is called The Speed of Trust. Good book. Is Stephen Covey? Yeah, great book. But it's, I want to encourage you to read that book. It's not really about relationships, yet it is about relationships. But not just marital couple. But as you look around, people are having a hard time trusting. And so how do we develop that trust? What are some of the things that you need to be looking for as it relates to trust? My relationship with is very passionate. I plan to continue my relationship with, somebody ought to say amen.
Amen.
I feel that really understands me. I would rather be with than anyone else. Isn't that sweet? I have confidence in the stability of my relationship. That's heavy. And brothers, that is critical. When your wife feels that she can, that she has stability in her relationship, she has confidence, it makes a difference in how she treats you. Number one, this is 20 things you should know about your spouse. I threw that in. Birthday. Do you know where they were born? Favorite color? I'll write it in. Do you know it? And talk about it at home. But this is a discussional piece. Because you need to know, these are some of the things you should know. These are 20 things, I mean, they were, but these are simple things. What is your spouse's favorite sports team? What is their favorite Bible story? I don't want you all to discuss them yet. I want you to write it down. And it's very interesting when you get home to begin to discuss it. And even if your spouse is not here, write it down and see if you can remember that so you can discuss it. Favorite season of the year. What is your favorite food? Favorite drink. Restaurant. Favorite TV show. Do you know when your anniversary is? A dream, a place where you want to visit, where you guys can dream, because do you know where that person wants to go? Favorite city. Favorite song. All time band. Singer band.
That's not a song. That's a band.
Well, that's a band. Song, singer, and band. That's why you gotta read the whole thing.
But I don't have the whole thing.
Praise often for. Favorite cartoon character. We were all kids at one time. Favorite Bible character? Favorite vacation spot?
Pastor, do they have to answer all loud?
No.
It feels so good.
Isn't it good? I love this one. Week number 19 carries tissue in this body area. Do you know that? Do you know the shoulders are? Are you attentive? I'm going to help somebody tonight. Favorite movie. All right. So these are some things that I want to take. Let's move real quickly. We're going to be out here in about 5 minutes. Thank you so much. I want to appreciate each and every one of you all tonight. You don't want to miss on next Friday night. We're going to be together. God's got some great words that he's going to share with you on Friday evening. We're going to have our band here again on Friday evening and then again at 7 o'clock and then Saturday at 11:30. You don't want to miss. We've got some great things going on Saturday at 11:30. And then again, once again on Sunday evening at 7 o'clock. God has got a word for you. He wants to take you to the next level. One of the keys that we've discovered in relationships as well is that the financial piece in a relationship could destroy that relationship if it ain't right. If he's spending and she's spending and you're not together in your spending, it can create problems. Now, that is a communication problem, all right? And the result of a communication problem, communication is the key. But I wanted to set out a budget for you all to begin to look at. You're not going to do it here. And I didn't know that if you had a budget. But we wanted to give you some practical things as well that you can take home to begin to discuss. So on the next couple of pages, you'll discover, on the next couple of pages, these are percentage guides that you can begin to look at. Now, I put something there for single adults. So if you're single, you can say, okay, this is how I need to begin to look at my budget and how I can begin to manage my budget, because that's what you want to do. You want to know how to prioritize because you want things to be right, you know, all right? Especially in your relationships that are coming if you're single. And then I have here as well, if you look on it, I have for a single parent with a child. So I want you to look at number one, of course, you want to look at your tithe, which you're going to be giving back to God. Somebody else say amen. We'll talk about that later. You want to always give back to God. It's always encouraging. Then I kind of put there what your taxes were estimating. And then I wanted to see your nets. This is part of your gross. I wanted to see your net spendable income. So these are suggestions. These are just guides. These are suggestions. We're suggesting that in your house, you should not be spending more than 40% if you're a single parent of your income. And I put making $15,000 to $20,000 a year, you want to make sure that you are watching your spending. And see, what happens is if you're not budgeting correctly, you're once again creating issues in the life of your family. As you can see, I'm not going to read all of them. If you go to the last page, page 9, you'll see this is for a family of two. and also a family of four. I want you to begin to look at the different incomes and see some of the percentages that you should be keeping. So now when you work on your budget at home, if you go back to your budget worksheet, now once again, these are just guides. These are standard guides that we look at. So you shouldn't be spending more than so much percent, maybe 30 or 40 percentage of your income towards your house. And if you're doing that, then once again, you're creating problems in the future as you're looking at how you're going to balance your budget. I want to encourage you all to sit down together as a family to balance your budget and to look at your budget. So one person may have the knowledge, but you want to sit down together as a family to look at your budget, all right? Do you do that?
Yeah.
You don't have to say it. That's all right. Praise those who do. That's why we're giving you this guide. Because it's important for you all to sit down together. That's what helps you move to the next level in your relationship with God. Now, I know that everyone here wants to make sure that financially they're stable, correct?
Right, right.
So I want to encourage you all to take some of these guides. They're just guides. But they're leading to help. We want to encourage you to move to the next level. These are just guides that help you to think about that. You don't have to take these guides. They're just recommended. And so I want to encourage you all to spend some time together as a family. I want you to know that God wants to do something great just for you. You got to be willing to open up and receive whatever God has for you. He wants to move your relationship to that next level. He wants you to be happy in Him, in Christ, but also He wants you to be happy together. I want to leave you by sharing, I love that quote where Jesus says that, He says, I come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Isn't that right? And when He says that, He's talking about life, like I shared with you all before, He's not talking about just mere bio. If you read that from the Greek, He's not talking about bio, which is mere existence. But He says that, I come that you may have life. And He uses that word zoe, which is the Greek word that says passion. God says, I don't want you just to have a mere existence in your relationships. But He says, I want you to have passion. I want you to have excitement. I want you to be excited about the relationship that you have with me and the relationship that you have with each other. So I want to encourage you as you're moving to the next level to be excited about what God has for you. God bless you and have a wonderful evening. Let's pray together. There's all kinds of bad stuff, but let's pray together. And I want to encourage you. We have Bible counselors here and those of you all who are here tonight. If you want to have a further study in God's Word, I want to encourage you to ask one of our Bible counselors that are here, right around the room. Could you raise your hand, all of our Bible counselors? I want them to see you tonight. You want to study God's Word even more personally. They will come to your home. Come on now. They'll come to your job if need be. Just to sit down and discuss God's Word. You don't want to miss next Friday night at 7 o'clock. And you don't want to miss Saturday at 11:30. And once again, Sunday night. God's got some great things in store to help you to move to the next level. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we're so grateful for your love. We're so thankful for what you are sharing with us through your Word. It is your desire for us to have a passionate life, to be victorious, to be excited about each other, but most of all, God, to be excited about you. Now, bless us on this evening, I pray. Bring us back together again on next Friday night, in Jesus' name. Let everyone say,
Amen.
Amen.